Since Joel's not here to give me a count around, just fire it away.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1000 of the Lincoln Tech Show. We're here. Yeah, on the show tonight, we have Pat.
Still not dead.
We have Alan.
Hello, hello.
We have Manfry.
Hey, it's been a long time, guys.
What's up, Manfry? We have Joe.
I might be dead. I haven't checked.
We have Murphfry.
Good evening.
Yeah. Welcome everybody. It's episode 1000, and it's too bad that Joel couldn't make it because he's got a little tummy troubles, and too bad Link's not here, or Rich or Chad or anybody else who was in the past. Dave Yates, there we go. It's a bad flash from the past. But anyway, I was thinking today, it's our 1000th show. And I was remembering back in the days when we first started the show, and even before that, a lot of us were in the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group. And there was a lot of stuff going on. And I felt that, especially during that period, it seemed, with Linux in particular, there's a lot of interesting churn going on. It was always something to do, I felt. A lot, and came with a lot of work involved with that. And it felt like, you know, when I look back at my past with computers and being on kind of like the second wave, I guess, of personal computers, back in the early 80s. Where you weren't building your own, but you had that next wave that came along, the Commodores, the TIs, the Apples, and all that stuff, way after the Altair. I don't know if you call that second wave or first, still part of the first. And, like, my Texas Instruments CI-994A came with this really awesome manual of their basic language. So as soon as, like, that was like the first thing. When you broke out that TI-994A, it came with, I think you had to buy the extended basic module separately. But it didn't come with anything except a manual on how to write your own programs. And, of course, I wrote a lot of programs back then. And then
the magazines that had the programs in the back.
Oh yeah, games. Yeah. Family Computing, all those I remember. Well, I don't know if it was it Family Computing, or there was one that was like Yellow Pages thick.
I forget, man. I remember Compute. That was a big one.
I think that was it. Was that the one that had like it would have like five or six different applications or programs in there, but yeah.
We would sit there for hours typing them in.
Yeah,
and most of us would make a typo. It's been, you know, three days trying to figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of them had the source code for, like, if there was a game in there, it gave you the Commodore, the TI, the Apple. It had like three or four different languages it was written out in. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, you're right. That always sucked when you got done finally typing that thing in and it didn't work.
And you misspelled poke somewhere.
Yeah, they had the wrong
character.
You're
off by one number somewhere.
Yeah, you put one period instead of a comma, it's all over.
Yeah. Oh, there were some good times. And And then I felt like back when in the Linux users group in that period of time, just getting like the late, mid to late 90s, getting involved in the tech industry then, it felt fresh, obviously fresh. Yeah, fresh for me back then, because that was like, you know, breaking into it. But it felt like there was a lot going on. Like, it wasn't just consuming applications on the computer. And so what is it today? Is it 3D printing now? I know there was a period of single board computers, Arduinos, Raspberry Pis were like massively popular. And there was a lot going on in regards to those. But I think, has that kind of died down? Is 3D printing and fabrication the big thing now?
Well, the single board computer phase, it died down, but that was because of the chip shortage. It was still going strong up until that time. But I know that there is a lot of popularity around 3D printing right now, but I don't know if that's where everything's at right this second.
Where's everything at then?
Gaming.
I don't know. I'm old. I'm out of touch with, you know, everything.
I mean, I see, like, if I'm going to go based upon my kids, I don't even see the older ones really. Like Paige, if I'm not mistaken, she produced a comic book and delivered it to the publisher using Krita, if I'm not mistaken. She still uses a lot of Linux-based stuff for her drawings and artwork and stuff. And Audacity, I believe, is what she was recording in all the time, too. Now, the other two really don't do anything other than utilize their phones. The youngest one goes through different phases between Minecraft and Fortnite and, you know, playing some RPGs and stuff, but it's been kind of challenging to get any of them interested in doing anything related to programming or writing their own stuff or exploring that in.
Same here.
And I don't see a lot of the kids that, now I'm sure they're out there. Yeah, obviously they are. But I'm like, there is so much that's accessible today compared to when we were growing up. Yet at the same time, there is so much of it. Like, it almost feels overwhelming.
Well, for them, they've grown up with it. It was always there. When we were doing that, when it was new and exciting, you could put stuff on the TV. That was something new. Where today, everybody has computers all the time. I think it takes sort of the edge off of that.
Right, but what I'm saying is there's still, I mean, there's so many things today that are available that we didn't, like robotics, like all that stuff, robotics, 3D printing, fabrication,
right.
Single board computer, stuff like that. What is
my kid's elementary school has a freaking robotics
right
course.
No, and yeah, and that's great. But what I'm saying is, what is like
what is the next
is
innovation?
Linux, like what's the next? Is it like when I said 3D printing?
Ooh,
you know, when I look at that, I say 3D printing as it is right now. Obviously, no, it's in the tinkerer phase, right?
Yeah,
it's in. But you know, I was thinking about that today, and. Once it gets commoditized, and I don't think it's really that far out of the range of affordable, commoditized, affordable, and subscription based, or whatever it is, that any idiot could press a button and print something out. Which,
yeah.
without, like, I'm kind of thinking, what would it be used for? Oh, you need a replacement part for something instead of, you know, going out and trying to track it down. you could just print it out right there. But then again, I'm thinking to myself, what is it on a regular daily basis people would be printing out? If it was affordable. And I mean, it makes, I don't know.
Phone cases, mounts, things like that. I don't know.
I don't deny that. I see that. Obviously, that's like what people are doing today. But printing out phone cases isn't going to be what attracts a general audience.
Right, because that's not something you're going to do on a daily basis.
Right, so I'm like, what is...
Warhammer, D&D.
Yes, there is Warhammer. But again, that's a niche market. And those people, like right now, it's... I kind of get the impression that in that market, Warhammer, Dungeons & Dragons, role-playing games, miniatures, stuff like that. Probably model trains, too. Like, the barrier for entry for 3D printing in those markets is incredibly low compared to a general consumer that doesn't have those niche hobbies. I don't really want to call them niche hobbies. I should say hobbies.
Well,
so I'm like, I get what you're saying. It makes there. Sense
you know,
there,
but how does it comport to, you know, Johnny Everyman? But right now, I have enough trouble convincing my kids they actually need a computer, as opposed to just their cell phone. Even with them being in college. So I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking about today. Like, what is the kind of exciting frontier that Linux was to me?
Handheld gaming.
What do you mean by handheld gaming?
Steam Decks. ANEOS.
But
I
those
next year,
they're really cool and everything, but I think of those as more as consumer devices.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is the, and I'm you know what, that those are good examples though. I mean, it's great to see that compared to when we first started this show, you know, the big things I recall back from the start of this show is we would love to see some kind of vendor, a fairly large size vendor offering Linux pre-install. More traction on the desktop.
It's still hard to find.
Yeah.
Appreciate some.
Netflix on Linux, to be able to run Netflix on Linux was something people were interested in. A really good video editor. And a lot of that stuff, I think, has come to fruition. But yet, we could say Linux hasn't really knocked the socks off on the desktop market, but Chromebooks, Android has a lot of, you know, without Linux, we wouldn't have a lot of these things. So you got Chrome OS. Android has underpinnings in that. The Steam Deck, perfect example. The proliferation of single board computers is largely driven by Linux and similar very small operating systems.
Right.
So, I mean, it's come, and pretty much every company that's running a website, like a lot of them, there's a lot of Linux involved. So it's come an immensely large, it's come very far, I think, from when we first started the show. Like, I remember saying, I would love to have a job where I'm working in Linux. all day long. And now I've had that job for a couple of years, where it's primarily working with Linux-based technologies. So, again, I'm just curious of what other people might think. What is now, what is going on today that we have to look forward to that was kind of like what we were doing like with Linux back in the 90s when we first started the show in 2003? 3D printing is the thing that came to mind to me, and fabrication. But anyway, go ahead. I'll let somebody.
Another thing that that we've all been looking at for quite a while now is convergence, which really still hasn't happened yet. The whole, you know, being able to use your phone as a laptop and easily be able to drop it down into a dock and use it on a screen. It does kind of exist, but it's not exactly something that actually happens.
No, and you're right. But is that, do people want that though?
Shit, I want that.
Yeah, I would love to have it too. But do your kids want it?
I think that once they actually used it, they would realize how useful it is.
Yeah, they don't know about it yet.
You know, if they could drop their phone that they've been using all day into a dock and it's on a larger screen, and then they could type out whatever they're typing out for school or work or whatever, I think that they would find it extremely useful. But they probably just haven't ever thought about it that way.
I don't disagree with you at all on that. But why hasn't it happened, man?
Why hasn't convergence happened? It's not in any of the phone manufacturers' best interest to really make it happen. I mean, Samsung tried. Canonical tried. Nobody's managed to pull it off.
But why? Why don't people want it? Or do they just not
have a good...
Because it costs more?
Because it costs more, and Apple's not doing it. If Apple does it, Google will do it with the next generation. Everybody will fall into line.
Hmm. Yeah.
Pat doesn't like that.
And Apple wants to sell you more devices, so they're not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't like it either, but it is what it is.
Plus, I don't know, the overall cost on that, I mean, phones have just been getting more and more expensive over the last, two decades anyway. I mean, to an insane amount. I mean, you used to be able to get your phone basically subsidized by your cell phone company, and now you can't anymore. And you're paying as much, if not more, for a phone than you do a laptop or, you know, a full-on desktop computer.
Which I guess would almost say makes sense for convergence. Should be an ideal thing, because if people have that powerful of a device in their hand, then they don't need a separate Chromebook or whatever. You can just slip it into a dock, and there you go, right? Convergence, hooray!
Yeah, no, I agree, and you know, if my phone could do everything that a laptop could do, then I would be all for it. But it can't.
Didn't Joel have that, was it Dex, the Samsung one? I thought he was using that for a little bit.
Well, Dex is still around.
Oh, no, I know. It's still around. I was thinking, I thought Joel mentioned one time he had that.
That he used it?
Yeah, he had it, or he was using it. Or I'm not totally sure which.
I have Dex. I don't use it because it's just Android.
So if your kids are in college, how are they writing papers?
I do have laptops for them. I mean,
they'll use it as a word processor.
Yeah, that's about it. Okay.
All right, that I was curious because you said they have no interest in using them. I was just curious if they what they do for writing papers and stuff. So they use their that makes sense.
Well, my oldest one is only taking like one class right now. I think it counts as two classes because of how much time it takes up. So she's technically going to college half time, but she's also like working half time. So maybe she doesn't get a whole lot of papers she's got to do. And both of them have to, well, at least my middle child is having to do a lot of videos. My eldest used to have to, but they have to do a lot of videos to turn stuff in. But that's because Tala is taking the ASL certs, the ASL associate's
degree. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So is that like, it's all through video now with testing and everything?
For that one, yeah. For the ASL stuff.
That is pretty cool. So she just films herself with the phone, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Now, was it a requirement to be in the class that you have an ability to record yourself?
It probably wasn't a requirement to enroll in the class. And I'm sure that the teacher could accommodate one or two people without that ability.
Okay.
But it seems like it would be a problem if more than that weren't able to record. But it seems kind of weird that somebody wouldn't be able to record. I mean, between laptops, although laptop, front-facing cameras suck, and phones, you figure everybody would have something to record with.
Yeah, I that's what I'm thinking too, but there's always that, like, edge
one
case
outlier.
Where, yeah, you know, they don't have it or whatever. And I was curious how they accommodate. It's almost like the question there is, I remember back when I was in the school district, there was always talk about, you know, how can we get more technology in the classroom and do it in an equitable fashion, and that you couldn't really assign projects or homework that was computer based because not everybody had access.
Right. And now
that was the big problem.
Everybody really does. I mean, well, most everybody. And like when I went to high school, there was no way that the school was going to issue you a laptop or a desktop. And now that's, you know, kind of the norm.
I'll say my kid got one in kindergarten. It'll
right.
follow him to fourth grade. In fourth grade, he'll get a new one. And that one will follow him to eighth grade. Eighth grade, he'll get another one, and that'll go through high school.
What does he have?
Get their Chromebooks.
Yeah, okay. I was just wondering, was it a Chromebook, or is it a... I know Apple used to give out Apples.
Yeah, it's a Chrome. It's actually pretty nice. And he just has to tap his ID card to it and calls
it. Oh,
it's
RFID enabled?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I guess so, yeah. He doesn't use it a lot at home because the teacher still does give out paper. You know, his first grade teacher still gives out paper homework to take care of. But it has a bunch of tests, like testing stuff he can work on.
Check his grade, contact his teacher.
Yeah, all those things are all in there. I think as they get farther on, more and more gets pushed onto it. But like I said, right now it's his first grade. But
now my daughter has a Chromebook, and it's largely used for looking stuff up, some video training or lectures and stuff like that at home. They use them. They do some stuff in the classroom, but like a lot of her homework, it's kind of split. She does do a lot of written homework, or did do a lot of written homework, particularly with math. And they also do a lot on the Chromebooks. Now my wife has told me following the pandemic, when the kids were out for that whole year, now that they're back, they really don't like to use their Chromebooks. Now, this is completely anecdotal in relation to her school, that they are really turned off by using the Chromebooks for anything. They prefer the classroom lectures and handwritten work over doing stuff on the Chromebooks a lot. Which somewhat I understand, but that's a whole different situation.
That would be my son. I unfortunately got him addicted to that stuff. So
you did.
Yeah, well, it's having laptops and shit all around, and he had an iPad for a while. So well, he still has that. But so when the time limit goes up on the iPad, he switches over to the laptop. I have to go and put that onto a time limit as well. I haven't gotten around to doing that yet. I don't worry about where he goes. I can pretty much monitor most of that. So that's mostly just YouTube anyways.
Now that my youngest is at the age that she's at, I'm going to try again. Like, I haven't decided completely the direction I want to go, but I was thinking more on the lines of trying to get back into the Arduinos and little basic electronic projects on that and kind of roping her in and maybe seeing if I can push that maybe towards robotics, because she does seem to be interested in robotics. I did try a little while ago when she was heavily in the Roblox and stuff like that, maybe introducing a little bit of programming, particularly just for we're doing stuff in Roblox, but she was more interested in playing than scripting.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the little one. He keeps talking about wanting to program, but then when I'm like, well, you have to start here, I don't want to start there. So it's like, okay, I was thinking of putting Scratch, that Scratch on his on his laptop, that way you can just, sort of drag and drop and get some ideas. Although I've never used it myself, so that would be the tough part.
It's tough though, man. I mean, I have to be honest. Like when you're just starting out, unless you have kind of a passion for it, or like that's the best thing that you have at the moment, Like, think of Logo. Logo is a pretty cool language to mess around with when you first start now. But, you get that little turtle drawing different things and it looks really cool. Like, that turtle today is competing against...
Competing against Roblox.
Roblox and Minecraft.
And Minecraft, yeah.
And the crazy thing is you could probably run Logo inside of Minecraft somewhere or build your own. Like, you could do so much with Minecraft. But again, I mean, my
now I have to look that up to see whether or not you can do that.
What, Logo?
Yeah, Logo inside of Minecraft.
I know somebody built like didn't they build a Commodore or something inside of Minecraft? Or they
I know
built
them calculators and stuff.
Yeah, you could do some crazy stuff in there. So I'm sure that you could, there's something you could do that to replicate Logo or run Logo inside of Minecraft. Has somebody ported Doom to Minecraft yet?
Do not know about that.
Yeah, look that up.
Yeah, unfortunately, the way that the Logo, it's LOGO, right? Unfortunately, that was after my time there. So I was just saying about the Logo for Minecraft.
Well, I guess apparently back in 2022, somebody did some Doom stuff in Minecraft. 2021, even.
Anyway. Did some what stuff?
Got Doom running in a version of Doom running in Minecraft.
Doesn't Doom run on everything?
Yeah, but I was just curious if it ran in Minecraft. Like, if somebody got it running in Minecraft.
I think somebody got it running on a toaster one time.
Somebody got it running in Did I see something where they got it running on that Mac keyboard?
There was one just recently that I saw a copy of. What the hell was it running on?
They actually got it so Doom can run within Doom on one of the walls within the game.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that. So Doom everywhere, man. Now, you know what? You got to get a 3D printer to print out that fast that you can play Doom on it. That'd be a huge mess, but...
Yeah, probably make a lot of spaghetti.
What about virtual reality? None of you guys are using virtual reality.
Not right now. I mean, for a while, I was using the Samsung stuff that was coming out where you basically got it free with your phone, and then you could hook your phone into it.
Did it work well?
It did. I enjoyed it. I mean, having kids and a wife, you don't find a whole lot of use for it because, you know, you want to be able to interact with them even when you're playing games. But the little bit that I did with it, I enjoyed, and I watched movies on it a couple of times, played some games on it. Nothing like, you know, crazy, but there were some interesting, like, space flight games that I enjoyed.
There's that, they did the one that was to the tune of Bohemian Rhapsody on that, that was all 3D. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, they were offering, like, concerts and shit on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looked like you were there and things like that, and they also had it set up so that you could, like, view different places around the world. I know some people had set up so that they could be on a stationary bike and feel like they were riding around someplace.
Yeah, I never did anything like that. I had a thing that looked like it was a ViewMaster, basically. That was the only problem with it. You had to hold it up. I didn't strap around your head. So
cardboard.
No, this wasn't cardboard. It was, well, I guess it used the back end for cardboard, but it was all plastic. It looked like one of those ViewMaster viewers. It worked and everything, but your arms get tired after a while holding it up.
Yeah.
And on top of that, as I went to for phones, it stopped working for that because it was too big. The phones were too big for them.
Yes. Now, well, also, like, mine is USB-C now, so.
Yeah, so you can't plug any into them anymore.
Yeah, all the old ones were micro.
Yeah.
And I think you can still, like, run cardboard if you could build your own of the correct size. Or I think you can go on Amazon and buy one that's meant for larger phones.
I haven't looked for that. Because, again, it comes down to, you know, I sit enough in my room now that people start looking at me strange if they see me sitting there with a virtual reality on.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, you got to buy something expensive that hooks up to a computer or up to a PlayStation.
Or runs through Facebook.
or runs through Facebook. I don't know.
I'm definitely not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Virtual reality definitely didn't go the places that I thought it would. Yeah, I mean, it might one day, but... I don't know.
I think it has to, before it goes anywhere. I think it actually has to be not the giant thing in front of your face. They've got to be able to hit it up to where it's, you know, more of the augmented type stuff. I think
that would go
farther. Where you just have, you know, you have something that looks like a pair of glasses and not like, you know, some cyber decks sitting on your head.
Right.
Well, that would go over well if they could pull that off. I mean, things are still too large in terms of component sizes for something like that to work. But I think once they get down smaller so it doesn't become so obvious, then that'll take off.
Right.
Well, they need a killer app, too. You know, when they say, oh, you can do meetings in VR, most people are not that interested in that, I think.
Yeah.
What's so great about it?
I got to take off all the plastic and stuff off of my cameras now, because I may have to start using them again. But I don't like being on video for meetings as it is. So.
Yeah, you're going to have to set up an interview space in your house.
Yeah, I know. Not looking forward to that.
Have an emergency suit ready.
Yeah.
Or at least the top half of it.
I have to see whether or not I still fit in my suit.
As long as you got a, you know, nice top and a tie, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Not be like that guy that had the top half of the suit and he stood up and he was still in his boxers.
Right.
But yeah, killer app and something that's not so obvious.
Well, yeah, definitely something less obvious. I know that there is some things that look pretty cool in AR. I don't know if they're, you know, vaporware. But, yeah, or if you could even get something that was monocular. Well, no, because that would still be too obvious. And my only concern with, like, a pair of glasses that have a screen in them is everybody else's ability to, you know, see what you're doing.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be trade-offs until they can actually embed it in your eye.
Right, right. Get a contact lens.
Didn't Disney just create real lightsabers at South by Southwest? They should do something with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw something about that. Was that like they weren't lights? It was just something that like extended out of the handle there, wasn't it?
It was something like that. But they could glom right onto that, right?
Probably, yeah. Get the imageers, I guess they're called, to think up something.
Imagineers.
Imagineers. There you go.
No, but I wouldn't mind some AR glasses that didn't look like AR glasses. But then they need to hook to my phone, most probably.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still a lot of stuff in the middle there that has to be fixed. A lot of components have to be shrunk. Wireless, excuse me.
Something to look forward to when I'm Alan's age.
When you're Alan's age,
right?
Hey, I'm only 60.
Hey, that's only almost 20 years.
you come out and say that, it's like, yeah, it doesn't sound as good saying it as it did in my head.
I guess the Lehigh Valley Linux User Groups is not around anymore at all. There isn't any version of it around, is there?
Of what?
Lehigh Valley Linux User Groups.
Oh.
I haven't seen or heard of anything in a long time.
Yeah.
The Greater Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group.
When was the webpage last updated?
I was just going to ask that.
Conducted via Zoom. I don't like this. I don't like their I don't like this website. Because I can't tell whether it's just Spartan and old, but it's up to date or it's not up to date. What's today's date? The 12th?
If they're doing all of their meetings online, then it has to be relatively updated.
Who the hell is running this? I have an idea who might be running it based upon where it's located. So, apparently, Wednesday, April 12th, there was a Greater Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group lab meeting. I'm not sure where that was, but the next LUG meeting is Monday, April 24th at the Whitehall Township Public Library. And you know who that makes, you know who that reminds me of, Pat? And Alan? And I don't know if you knew him, Man Fry. Was his name Jeff Zartler? Was that his name?
Jeff, yeah. I don't remember his last name.
I recognize that name.
What, did you say something, Pat?
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he ran the Linux special interest group that was associated with the Lehigh Valley computer users group.
Right, and they used to do that a lot of times, the meetings at that library.
Yeah, at that library. So I wonder if he's still running something there. If that's him.
It's a good possibility.
It says formerly the Lehigh Valley Computer Group under the logo.
Oh, you know, oh, you, wait, are you looking at their page?
Yeah.
Where do you see that?
Right under the big hero image up there. Here, there's the about page too. It says, "The Greater Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group was formed from the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group and Linux SIG."
Oh yeah, there it is. I see it. I'm sorry, man. I was looking at the wrong place. But yeah, you're right. I was looking at the about too. I was reading that. So I wonder if that is Jeff Zartler. Oh, it is. Yeah, just keep scrolling down the about page. There it is. Wow, good on them.
Oh, come on. Can they run this site on something other than Google Sites?
What would you like to see them run it on, Man Fry?
Linux somewhere?
Oh, hell yeah. I guess.
I'm just picking on them.
According to their group discussion.
Yeah, Dan R. still comes up here as well. From over the CyberStation and then Tatami.
So their group discussion page at least was started on the in 2020. But well, I get, what was that? LVLinux.org? What was our what was our address? LVLug?
LinuxLink.net/LVLinux. I just did a Google. It comes up first on LehighValleyProfessionals.org.
Yeah. Good old days. Yeah. What were you going to say, Alan? Was that you?
I would say our website doesn't work, but like I said, it comes up in the LehighValleyProfessionals.org. Our mission is to promote the use and understanding of Linux free and open source software and BSD. Our monthly meetings are open to the public and held on the second Saturday of the month. We require no membership dues, no previous experience with Linux is necessary, only desire to learn. We look forward to meeting you, learning, and having some fun.
That was from the Lehigh Valley Professionals, LVProfessionals.org?
LVProfessionals.org, yeah. It's actually when DuckDuckGo was the first thing that came up when I did Lehigh Valley Linux User Group.
How did we get into that?
I have no clue. Let me probably scrape the website.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, anyway. Screw that. Go, if you're in the Lehigh Valley, check out the Greater Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group. I wonder why they call themselves the Greater Lehigh Valley. Is there another group out there?
Yeah, us.
Oh, all right. Well,
if they just
want everybody to know that they're better than you.
Yeah, they are. They're still running. I'd like to see their membership list. See who I recognize. Who else is there?
You just see my name 16 times.
Oh, got it. You're keeping it alive. This is what you've been waiting for, Joe. This is your long con. It doesn't actually exist. You just created it like a couple of years ago. And
just to mess
we
with
would,
you.
Yeah, we would come upon it someday.
And I update it, you know, regularly, just to mess with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Where did we go? The Linux World? Was that at Linux World, the Jacob Javits Center, where we rented the stripper mobile?
Yeah.
Is that it,
yes.
Alan?
They had it at the Javits Center for a few years.
And yeah.
With the booze left over from the party before us?
Yes. Which means they probably didn't clean that thing up. Since the party before us, did they?
Probably not. No.
Not that much. But we all live. Who was on that trip? You were Alan. You were also on there, Pat.
I went
Link.
Yeah.
And, here's the question.
Well, there's a bunch of us.
Here's the question. Did you hire the strippers too?
Oh no. Link stripped for us. That's where Hot Link came from. that's where. Was
the Linux Link came from?
was Jen with us on that trip?
That and Hot Link too.
Yeah, Hot Link. Alan and Pat, was Jen with us on that trip?
Maybe.
Yeah, I off the top of my head, I don't recall.
So I'm gonna say I think I remember aside from you guys. Jen was there. Wasn't Randy Kramer there? I'm
going to say yes.
And the guy, what was his name? Tom something, I think, who was providing his company that he worked for, did the training stuff, I think. Or
oh, you mean the newspaper guy?
No, not the newspaper guy. The guy that had that office up in Allentown off of Cedarcrest.
Yeah, out there near Parkland. Or not too far away from Parkland.
I don't remember what his name was. So you got a better memory than me then.
I thought it was Thompson. I think he was there. Oh, man. Do you remember that guy? Oh, what was his name? There was a guy, he was a real, like, a-hole, and he used to come in.
Joe? And...
Joe? No. Oh, man, what was his name? I want to say it was, like, Faber or something like that. But he'd always just, like, berate everybody's, and like...
Oh, not... Well, I remember Faber, but...
No, it wasn't Faber. I don't think it was Faber.
No,
Faber
was
a cool guy.
No.
He was good. He was from Jersey, wasn't he? Faber was out in Jersey.
Yeah, he was with the Jersey Linux Club at the time. He used to come up and visit.
Yeah. Not Faber. Oh,
Faber Fedar, I think it was, or something like that.
Yeah, the guy was a real jerk, and he'd just, like, he'd make fun of people and their stuff, and he'd call everybody's stuff shit, and he was just, like, a total ass. And then somebody, I don't know if it was Link or somebody, told him off one time and then that was it. He just left and never came back. Never heard from him after that. He was just a real, I know he was a real shit to Jen, he was a piece of work. Yeah, I think we first started meeting in, we did in Link's basement, right?
It was Link's basement originally, yeah.
And we had, like, we were doing that the first little bit of when we started out. We were going to different people's houses to meet, if I recall correctly. Because I know we did a few in Link's basement. I know I had a couple at my house. And then there was, were we meeting out, at somebody's house right outside of, right outside of Hellertown?
Yeah, there was, it was like a doctor. He was like a doctor or something.
Yeah. We had a couple meetings there.
Yeah.
And then I think we got the place with Tom. If I recall, that was at the office building.
Yes.
And then, I don't know what happened with that, but we wound up at Moravian with Steven, was a professor there, and we were meeting in Moravian College.
That's where I came initially, to Moravian. I was way late to the game.
The first one I ever went to was at Dance House.
Then we had a few at that place in Tammany at the Cyber Cafe, and that was sort of it at that point, I think.
Yeah, that place went out of business.
I'm sorry, I don't know if you heard my phone go off there, but I got a call from a number I didn't recognize, and it was Freedom Towing, and they're like, did you call for a lockout? And I'm like, no. But, man, right in the middle of the show. Sorry about that.
We didn't hear it.
Okay, well, good. Because I did mute myself, but then I missed what everybody else was saying. Which apparently wasn't important.
Pat was saying something.
That's the most important.
Right? We were just talking about the end of the log, or at least my involvement.
Yeah, didn't they move? Did it move to somewhere in Easton or something?
We did a few in Tatamy at this Cyber Cafe place, which was like a converted house.
Right.
But that place closed down. Not that long after that.
Oh my God, cyber cafes.
Yeah, you remember they were a thing, right? People,
right?
Gaming parties.
Late 90s, early 2000s, StarCraft.
Isn't there someplace, I guess cyber cafes are still really popular in Japan and China, aren't they?
Probably Korea too. I know they were popular when I was there.
Yeah, so are there any cyber cafes around? Do you have
not around me?
I wonder. I haven't seen one in forever.
Basically, if everybody brings their laptop to a cafe, it suddenly becomes a cyber cafe.
Yeah, there is that.
They have Wi-Fi.
Apparently, the U.S. Coast Guard Training Center has a cyber cafe. But I don't really see anything near me. Other than that. Oh, you know another technology that I don't see people, a lot of people using anymore or doing anything with asterisk.
No. Yeah, I know a couple of people that are, but really it's nowhere near as popular as it used to be.
Yeah, I remember getting calls from like India from spammers, and you would hear the asterisk ding as it was connecting.
Yeah, asterisk. Man, didn't they have like a just like a CD you could pop it into any computer and it was live and just like answer a few questions at some point, and then you had a phone in a box like that, a phone system in a box. It was like the TV of asterisk.
I know they had a couple of USB dongles that you could just hook up to a computer and have a phone.
Yeah, they had some tiny distros too, right? That had it, even with like a soft phone that you could just load up an app somewhere on something, right?
Yeah, but I thought that there was one distribution that was like the Myth TV of asterisk, where you just answer a few questions and it was like all completely set up for you. Especially if you use like a certain hardware devices, like certain hardware. What were the cards called that you plugged into for the landline on the Myth TV? What were those cards called? Do you remember?
Oh, Matt? I had
cable cards.
The what cards?
Cable cards.
For asterisk.
Well, no, you said for Myth TV.
No, well, no, I was saying there was some distribution I thought that was for asterisk, but it was like the Myth TV of asterisk. It made it really easy to get it up and running, especially if you had. There were certain card manufacturers that really shined with asterisk.
I don't remember.
I forget what those cards were called. But yeah, if you were running Myth TV back then, a cable tuner card, that was a big thing.
No, I remember Linphone.
Linphone, yeah, I used Linphone. And what was this? What were the? We had Grandstreams, right?
We had Grandstreams, yeah. They're somewhere floating around in the closet. I still have mine.
And that all worked really great until you had somebody call in with like a really shitty cell phone connection. Like Lord D always had that problem. Like his cell phone connection calling into the asterisk conference room was always spotty. But yeah, that was some good setup, good times we had with that. Yeah. Oh man, I remember. Murph, did you ever call us up on the asterisk?
I don't think I ever called in on the asterisk. I think I've done this, and I did. I don't know. Maybe I did way back in the day. I don't remember.
Yeah. Then we had for a while we had the Skype bridge that would connect the Skype to the asterisk, and that actually worked really well.
Yeah. The Skype. That. Man, the asterisk was. That was great. Remember
when Skype was free and fun to use?
Yeah, there was that.
You could call anywhere, and all you had to worry about was having an internet connection.
Yeah.
Yep. Back when it was actually peer-to-peer.
And then, you know, Microsoft bought it.
That's all been downhill since then.
Guys on the Vine. It's still around, but they haven't done shit with it.
I remember, what was I just thinking? I was just thinking, we had, oh yeah, we were talking about that, right as we were in our heyday with using the asterisk stuff. And, you know, sure, you would have issues like that where the call quality of everything was dependent upon the worst caller in there. And so there was those issues, but I mean, shit, we were doing that and conferencing and all of us sometimes on the asterisk for pretty much nothing. And what was it? What was that first, that Linux show that was way, they were before us with Russ and...
The people that didn't want to help us.
Yeah. Like, Now he was running the Linux professional. Show?
Was that the Linux show?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was just the Linux show, or something like that. And he ran an ISP, if I was not mistaken.
And oh yeah, it was insanely expensive for them.
Yeah, they were talking like it was costing them thousands of dollars.
It was like $200-$300 a month at least.
Yeah, just to run the show, and we're like, oh my goodness.
Because they ran it off of like a phone group number or something.
Yeah, it was some proprietary PBX system, wasn't it?
It was somewhat the phone company or telecommunications company, and yeah, they got bled like crazy.
Yeah, that was something. Oh yeah, I wonder how he's doing. I wonder how Russ is doing. What was his last name? Pavlicek? Was that it? Why is that sticking on me?
Yeah, it was Russ Pavlicek.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Had Doc Searles.
You know where else we used to meet sometimes for the LUG meetings? Was it Whitehall Diner?
Oh yeah.
City View?
City View.
City View Diner. We were you there, Murph, on some of those City View ones?
Nope. I did some at the Cyber Cafe that Pat was talking about, and I did some. Where did you have one where you had like a conference room, like in a trade school or something?
You're not talking about the college, right? You're not talking about when we were at Moravian College.
No, I don't think so. It was off of, I forget the name, Cedar Grove?
Cedar Crest. That's yeah. The one we were talking about before, Murph. Why weren't you chiming in?
That was the office.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that, and that's, I think his name was Tom. Tom was the guy's name who worked there. So yeah, that was a man. That's a big gap between that and when you were at the Cyber Cafe. That's a lot of years, Murph. Why didn't you come to the LUG meetings?
Because I lived an hour and a half away and you had it on weeknights.
So you could have stayed over at somebody's house. Yeah, that'd be a long drive, man, for a LUG meeting. Drive an hour and a half just to see Alan.
No, really.
And I think when I did go to the ones in the office, I think that was when I was between jobs. So I had the luxury of, you know, don't have to go to work in the morning. And when you did the ones in the Cyber Cafe, wasn't that on a Saturday or something?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, those were on the weekends. And I remember you showed up riding your bike.
Yep, I could get away with that when it was on the weekends.
That was always a hard thing to do, like trying to find a day that was perfect for everybody to meet was always problematic. I wonder how Trolls is doing.
Hey guys, I gotta run, but I just wanted to pop in for 1,000 here and say, you know, say hey and see how everything was going and stuff like that. But if I get more time, I'll try to pop in more often.
Oh man, it's great to hear from you. Man,
yeah, it's good to hear. Yeah.
Everything going well with your family?
Oh yeah, everything's real good. I'm still traveling all over the place though and stuff like that, and I'm mostly out on the West Coast now. When I go, I'm not in the same time zone anymore. So
where are you right now?
I'm at home right now.
Oh.
But I was in San Diego the last couple of weeks. You know, I was in Colorado Springs a couple times. I mean, it's, yeah, I'm still all over the place.
Well, have safe journeys, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for popping on.
No problem. Later.
Yeah, trolls. Haven't heard from him in a while. I hope he's doing well. It's been a couple years. You remember Trolls, Alan? Pat?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I remember him, the Danish guy.
Yeah, he
was, oh, yes, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Young kid. He was like I think he was in his teens, early teens, when he would call in, and he, yeah. Hope he's doing well. And your buddy Randy Kramer, remember that guy?
The work we did for him.
Computers right. For kids.
And now he's a ghost hunter. Or he was. Investigating paranormal. But, Alan, at work, did you use Windows on a day-to-day? Pat, you're using Windows on a day-to-day basis at work, right?
Yeah. I give us laptops, Windows laptops.
Yeah, I had to. I mean, my predominantly, I was on Linux for my programs and stuff, but any interaction within work, I had to be on Windows.
We were talking about kids and computers and what they're using today, and like, man, it's got to be really cutting into the Microsoft budget with the desk. I mean, is the Windows desktop still that big of a I don't know if seller's the right word, but it's I'm sure they have the lion's share of the market, but that's got to be getting smaller every year.
Yeah, I think it's still like 70-80% of desktop computers, but that's desktop computers. How many people are phone only these days?
A lot. Yeah. Laptops, desktops. So but that it's you can tell that they're hurting because they offered Windows 10 basically for free to everybody, and then they are offering Windows 11 basically free to everybody. So
Murph, what do you say? They have 70-80% of the desktop market. Does that
probably more include, than that?
Okay. Does that include Chromebooks and laptops into that number?
I don't have hard figures in front of me, but I thought that's what it was. Yeah, something like that. You know, if you include desktops, laptops, there's somewhere around 70-80% still. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought I recall.
But that also includes Chromebooks and everything in that.
Yeah, Chromebook, Apple, okay. You know, all desktop laptops.
Because that's it. Like, I know a lot of people who have phones
and also okay.
like a Chromebook, but not a Windows.
I have it brought up here. Desktop operating systems percentage market share. Windows actually has less than I thought, and they're at 69.43%.
And then, so you guys were both wrong. Murph, you're wrong, man. You gave us wrong data. 70-80%, try 69.7.
Well, that's pretty close to 70.
Don't give him an out.
Okay. I am ashamed of my inaccuracy. I apologize, Dan.
Next time.
Yeah. And then OS X 17.2%, unknown 7.6, Chrome OS, which has its own category, 3.24. Linux 2.86 and FreeBSD 0.01%.
Holy crap! Chromebooks only 3. Is this worldwide?
That's what it said. Desktop operating system market share worldwide.
I would have thought Chromebooks would have been a lot more than 3.5%. I guess there's still a lot of sales being driven by the low-end, like, laptop market, which you're probably going to end up getting Windows on. I'm so out of touch with that, with the consumer market. I don't know.
Yeah, and it also, you know, where are they getting their data from?
My assumption those things collect is that, you mean that market share thing? Isn't that, like, usually by what comes to website, a certain group of websites? Is that it, where they aggregate that information? Or does that include sales numbers?
I don't know.
Companies.
If it was sales numbers, then it would be a lot lower for, you know, basically everything. Well, that wasn't Windows.
Why do you say that?
Well, there aren't a lot of Linux machines that get sold. I mean, there's a lot of people that take Windows machines and put Linux on it.
Yeah, but the Linux, so that Linux market share, that's like less than 1%, isn't it?
No. It was almost 3%. It's 2.86% for Linux.
Well, I mean, I guess you would probably have that concern, right? That issue right there. But would it really give Microsoft, I mean, if it gave it that 3% bump? I don't know. I guess. I'm just glad I don't have to use it on a day-to-day basis. Although I'm not that keen on OS 10 either. But what really frosts my Pop-Tart on my work laptop, and it happens with some regularity, is that we get like updates pushed down to us, and you have the option for most of them, you can defer them up to 3 times, defer the update. But then eventually, when your deferments are over, that's it. You have to accept the update. And a lot, like half the time when this happens, and I'm like, okay, update. It's like it closes all my applications and then nothing happens. And, like, I don't know if it's updating. I don't know if it updated. I don't know if it failed. I don't even know what the hell it was updating. Like, it happened.
Is it ready for me to restart? Yeah.
Like, it popped up yesterday, and it's like, there's an update. You have one deferment. Do you want to do it now or wait? And I'm like, I'll defer it. And then, sure enough, it popped up again today. And it didn't, like, say what it was going to update. And I'm like, all right. I got to do it. You know, there's nothing else. And it was counting down. And I closed up all my applications and it said, all right, let's do this. And then I sat there for 5 minutes and it didn't do anything. Like it didn't even restart. So and then I was like, well, I'm here. I'm ready for this update. I'll just open up the Apple updater and see what's available. Maybe something happened. And the only there was a security update for Monterey, and it was like 2 gigs that it wanted to pull down for this update. So I guess I said, all right, let's do it. And I'm not sure if this was the right update. But it was going down slowly, so I figured I would just switch to my other Wi-Fi network, and maybe that would be faster. And then doing that interrupted the download, which I thought it would, but I figured it might pick back up. No, it didn't pick back up. It messed the whole thing up. And
over again from the beginning.
Yeah, and then I'm like, what happened now? Do I have to... Like, I went back in there, and it's like, oh, there's a new update. It's 2 gigs. You want to download? I'm like, no, forget it. So I don't know what happened today. I don't know what it was updating. I don't know if it was pulling down that 2 gigabyte thing in the background. Annoying. Now, when I have to update Linux.
That's what happened. You broke it. That's what happened.
It might as well be. When I update Linux, what I really like about it is it's always showing me what the hell it's doing. So if it fails or whatever happens, I can see that. But at least I can tell that it's running or doing something. Right, Murph?
You got it.
So what do you have to say, Joe, or anybody? Somebody else?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Quit breaking your work laptop.
Oh, but I do. Hopefully this week I'll get that. I'm going to get that hard drive and try something else on this system. Get all set up. Exciting times. We'll see. We shall see. What else? It is
9 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. And probably gotta get things wrapped up for show 1000. I mean, it's been a blast so far. I really do miss those tinkering days, like that level of tinkering back then. Trying to get stuff working, whether it was X86 or getting Linux installed on a system. All the fun things of having to go through that. I kind of do miss those days.
Yeah, that was why I, you know, continued on trying to get Linux onto tablets for so long, because it got too easy to do it on all the other hardware. So pull out a tablet, make it work on there, and then it started getting too easy on that. Now I don't know what the hell to do.
But you know what, Joe? What I say is I've gotten fat and lazy, and now I don't have the patience to do that anymore, or sometimes.
I never had the patience. Although I enjoyed doing it, I just never had patience.
Yeah. Come on, Dan. You could always go back to the old ways, bust out Slackware, get that running on something new. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, I thought about that. But you know what? That's the problem. I love Slackware, and it has some really great tools now, and it's always been a solid distribution for building stuff on. But I don't know if I want to invest the time to do, because I'm lazy.
Then I guess you don't want to tinker that much.
I know, because it's tough because you have a distribution like Arch, which, like, it's really easy. Slackware takes a little more hands-on. You gotta.
Well, you could always do Linux from scratch.
I've done that before. I don't want to do it again. Not now. You know, maybe one day I will go back to it. I just got so much other stuff going on.
Salix. Linux for the lazy slacker.
Lazy, yeah, there. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. Alright, anything else?
It works on my laptop. You can get that much out of it.
So Alan supports Salix?
At least currently on this laptop, yeah.
And Joe says Linux from scratch. And Murph says,
use what works.
Oh, crap.
That is more for me, yeah.
What? Oh, man, I did that. What is this? Gentoo. Here we go. Murph says Gentoo.
Yeah, the GCC screensaver.
There you got it.
There you go, yeah.
All right, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Have a great, great week. Thank you, everybody, for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and I'll see you on episode 2000.
Yeah, there we go.
You're always welcome.
20 years from now, at least.
You enjoy more often than that. We need more people than Joel talking.
Yeah, you're always welcome. Everybody's always welcome. Mark, you're always welcome. Come on, whatever.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. As you know, it started off as an LV Lug thing. You were in the LV Lug. Of course, you're a member. You're always welcome to come.
I was on the before you guys started broadcasting live was when I came to some of the Lug meetings.
That is. I think you were coming to Lug meetings before we were even doing the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, thank you, everybody. See you in a week. Here are your promos. Thanks.
I am.
Good night, everybody.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making it for young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yum, yum, yum. Ah. And they all skedaddle, except for you, Murph.
What do I have to stay? Is that where you're going with this?
No, you can do whatever you want. Everybody else is jet.
Oh, yeah, look at that. They all ran.
They all left. That's how's life treating you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. How about you?
We're doing good. Doing good. Got one kid out of the house in her own place. Got two more we're working on. And that would just leave the final one finish school. But they're all doing good, so I can't complain. You were a
good deal.
No, I said they're all way too much money now.
But just about everything is way too much money now because of inflation. I hardly have anything left over at the end of the month. I went from making decent money and being able to put stuff back to having to reduce the amount that I send to my 401k to be able to pay all my bills.
I understand that.
Wish work would understand that.
And we had a layoff yesterday, and I was one of them, so I ain't got to worry about that for a little bit. I got to find something else now. 28 years.
That sucks. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So you were one of the higher earners there, or were the new hires making more because they're new hires?
No, there was 128 of us that lost it, pretty much most of the company.
This is my concern with hunting down a new job. Yeah, I'm seeing the low end offers in 20% more than I'm making now, but with all the firings that are going on and probably more financial problems worldwide coming in there, it makes sense for me to switch jobs to just, you know, get reduced.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it, to having to find another job, because ain't a hell of a lot in this area.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of in fintech that's hiring, supposedly, but I know, like, my company isn't supposed to be hiring, but then I get calls saying that this is for a position at my company.
Yeah, I have to find somebody. I got to find a recruiter. Help me out with that.
If you find a decent recruiter, let me know.
Yeah.
I haven't gone that path, finding a recruiter. I've had headhunters.
Well, I got to find somebody to, like I said, help along. There may be other things around here that I don't know about because... Mm-hmm. No, honestly, I haven't really been paid attention to it. I haven't had to. So, and the little startups and things like that, I don't pay attention. I just not really in the having the prospect of moving anywhere.
Well, evidently the contract company that I used to work for, which is TCS, Tata Consultancy Services, I really enjoyed working for them. I understand that they're horrible.
Shut the fuck up.
I understand that they're horrible in India, and Joel, don't talk to me like that. I will drive out there.
Shut the fuck up.
You shut your fucking whore mouth.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, I will. No, but what was I saying? Oh, yeah, Tata Consultancy Services. Huh? At least three times. But they were good to work for. Evidently, they're terrible in India, but they have a rehire issue. Like, it's more difficult to do a rehire with them than it is a first-time hire. Okay. And so any time somebody calls, I have to ask not only who's the end client, because obviously I can't go back to America using a headhunter.
Yeah.
And who's it going through? And if it's Tata, I have to tell them I'm previously from Tata, and then they'll be like, oh, well, we can't do that. So, like, I would say a third of the jobs that call me get knocked out. And then another third of the jobs that call me get knocked out because they want to go stupid low.
Yeah.
Like 30% less than I'm making now in the same location. Or they want to offer me the exact same amount that I'm making now, but in California.
Yes, I was looking today, and it's like, oh yeah, this is a company I know of. It's around here. But then when you look under the careers, like everything's like San Jose.
Yeah, well, everything's right. Triple the price.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's too expensive, and I have no desire to live in California.
I don't have a desire to live in California, one, and two, you're not going to pay me enough to move to California.
Yeah, that's just it, you know. My old boss, you know, took a job when our company split up. He was on the other side of the you know, the split out. And they, you know, they offered him a job, but it was out in San Jose. Now, he lucked out because his son has an apartment out there.
Right.
So he was able to, like, stay out there for a while. But he ended up coming back here. But, you know, and also the other nice thing was, you know, they gave him a package that reflect the fact that he was working in San Jose.
Right.
So he got more just for being out there. But he ended up coming back because it's, like, it's just too expensive and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, even if they were to give me like a 20-30% increase in the pay that I'm making now, if I go out to California, I'm not even going to be able to afford a house.
Or maybe it's not even an apartment.
Probably not even an apartment.
Yeah.
Not on any kind of long-term basis.
Hmm.
And I still got a wife and kids.
That's just it. You know, I got, you know, if it was just me, I wouldn't worry quite as much about it. But, you know, I got the house. I got, you know.
Right. We need the stability. We can't, you know, yeah, if it was just me, I'd take chances on jobs. You know, I wouldn't mind going to another place. And then if I lose my job, oh, well, I'm the only one that pays for it. But if I lose all income, what happens?
Yeah. You know, the guy I was working with, he's, you know, I mean, yeah, he's upset that he loses his job. I'm like, your wife works probably making pretty close to what you do. You've got like 24 apartments that you own. I'm pretty sure you're minus one there. You're still not going to be hurt.
Right.
And he's like, well, I got a kid just going through college. I'm like, I have one income and I got two kids and, you know, in a house. You know, tried to do the one income thing. So because, you know, we figured it out and basically, you know, try to get child care. Well, there's a second income right there.
Oh my God! Childcare is at least a minimum wage income, at least a full time minimum wage income.
It just didn't make sense at the time.
That's why my wife quit working when we had our second kid.
Yeah. So it's, you know, basically, you know, single income, bring back the 50s type thing. Oh, damn! I've yet to get a fucking martini at the door.
Oh, right. Oh, and a foot rub. You know, you get home, you sit down, you get the foot rub, you get the drink.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately,
well,
it doesn't make that connection.
You come down here, I'll rub your foot for you.
And they don't hurt. But what's a damn martini now? I can't drink anyway, so sucks now.
Right?
Sorry.
Why can't you drink?
Alan.
Say again?
Why can't you drink?
I had an AFib.
Ah, okay.
And alcohol screws it up.
I mostly choose not to drink anymore.
Well, I never did, you know, much, you know, other. Yeah, you can probably count, you know, in a year on one hand how much I drank. So
yeah,
it's not like I lost anything out of that one. But it sucks now because it's like, damn, I could use a fucking drink.
Right?
But but I don't want to risk it. I've already had the jumpster twice there, so.
Oof. That's just fun. To put it back.
You know, you don't feel anything. It's to put it back in normal rhythm.
Right.
I just call it a jump start. I mean, just as I said that, it makes it sound a lot worse than it is. But they knock you out for it in like 10 minutes later.
You're still getting tased.
Oh yeah, basically. But you're out for it. So I counted the last one because the first one it seemed like it took a lot longer. Mm. But this one I actually saw a clock right before I went out. That was literally 10 minutes. And that was, you know, I probably took them a little bit longer because I asked them this time to take the fucking pads off before they woke me up. Because that was the first time they took the pad off my back, which was like, no, actually, I'm sorry, they took the one off my chest, but they left the one on my back. And so once I'm awake, then they have to take that one off. And my God, did that motherfucker hurt. That hurt more than anything else. Because basically, like, you know, it's just like a 4-inch by like 3-inch pad that they stick on you. That's, I mean, really, really fucking sticky stuff.
Did it rip hair off with it?
Well, they shaved, but it ripped. I mean, yeah, I had a circle where the patch was on my back. Well, I mean, you had them anyways, but you know, it was like that one was like it hurt that one there how much? And so I'm like, can you please take those off before? I really would appreciate if you do that. So this time they did that, so it wasn't quite as bad.
Still.
But I think they hit a point where they don't really want to do that. They want, you know, if you keep going into AFib, they want to do other things. And some of the other ones are, you know, nasty medicine. There's one where they go in and they burn out some nerves around your heart. So it forces it to be back, going back to normal. Like, yeah, I'm not really into that one either. Like, we do it all the time. It's safe. And then he's like, but it's just the same as if you have an open heart surgery. I'm like, yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
Boy. Well, this is it, gentlemen.
Number 1,000.
You made it.
We made it, yeah.
But Joel didn't.
Oh, I thought he said he was going to be on.
I don't know. I got an email from him a little while ago.
Oh, I haven't checked my email.
He said he was having some intestinal problems.
Tell him his phone works in the bathroom. And he won't be the first person we heard.
Well, yeah, he's going to bed, he said. So.
Chicken and out on us.
I know. Right? What a win. Oh, yeah. Well, all right, should we get the show rolling?
You sound very far away.
Is that better?
That is better.
All right. Get the show rolling. Who do we have here? Is Murph there?
Yes.
I am here.
Oh, look at that.
Murph, hi.
Son of a bitch.
I had to show up for the thousands. What are you kidding?
There you go. All right.
You can only have gotten Leecon.
Same old intro. What's that? Was that Alan?
I said we could only have gotten Leecon, kid.
Yeah.
Bought the gang back together again.
Oh, Alan, speaking of that, I'm sorry to hear you got laid off, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty shit. Is there a possibility you might get hired back?
Probably not. I mean, the layoff was probably, yeah. I mean, I've been through like 7 of them so far and always made it through, but this is probably the most shittiest handled one that I've ever been through.
Did they give you a package?
Oh yeah, I got a package and everything like that, but it was like basically one of my coworkers sent me a text Monday night. He's like, check your email. So I check it, and it's like all hands meeting. We have very important business to discuss. I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound good. And I get to work. I pull in the parking lot, and there's like 15 cars there, if there's that, maybe 20. I'm like, okay, this doesn't look really good either. Yeah. And so we get inside, and basically no one has said anything. There's a 4 o'clock meeting in the, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon meeting that we have, you know, that's our all hands meeting. So basically the entire day was basically, you know, just rumors. You know, if you're here, you're getting, you're out of a job. They called people who were safe the night before and said, don't come in till Thursday. You know, it was just really poorly handled. And I was like, you know, you got everybody here. What the fuck? You're gonna give us a 30-minute talk and hand us a package? Why do you have to make us all sit here till 4 o'clock? Because like at that point, I've been like, you know, I was like, okay, I'm packing my desk. And I grabbed the box that was sitting next to there, emptied all the shit out on the floor. I'm like, it's not my problem anymore.
Yep.
It's like I need this box more than you do. And just basically, yeah, and like I said, even when we were in the meeting, you know, the discussion was like, you know, I still don't know the exact reason. Because, you know, the head honcho is like, well, you know, I'm under an NDA and I can't talk. And I was like, wait a second, you say that we're done now, but yet we're getting paid till July because of the way state of New Jersey works. So technically we're still hired. So that would mean we're still under the same NDA that you are. So why can't you tell us what the hell happened? So it's like, yeah.
Well, at least the non-compete was declared unconstitutional.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have to like worry about that. But it was just, you know, in my view, it was very poorly handled. But it was most of the company. I think they have like a skeleton crew left in the fab. Or like the day shift. I don't think there's anybody for the night shifts anymore. And a handful of engineers. And pretty much everybody else is let go. So my gut feeling is that building is not going to be open that much longer. I think the only reason they're open is they have some some contractual stuff with one of the customers that they have to stay around for. But once that's up, then I'm pretty sure that's going to be they'll auction off they'll auction off all the machines and stuff and try to make some money back on it after spending about $3 million in the last 3 years on building a fab. It's like, you guys planned 5 years out in advance. You don't tell me you didn't have something up. You couldn't figure out what the hell was going on here. You know, every time you get together, it's like, you know, this is our plan for the next 5 years and what we're going to do. Yeah. Anyways,
it became more profitable to get rid of everything.
Obviously, yeah.
That makes sense if they had, because a lot of companies right now are having the problem where when interest rates were extremely low, they were gambling that the market would stay that way, and so they got lower interest loans that were dependent on the market, hoping it'd stay low. And then once things started going up, they're screwed.
Yeah. And our company, you know, we were bought out, and then they bought Finisar, and then they bought Coherent. So they, you know, like in the course of like 3 years, they bought like two other companies.
Well, then, yeah, it sounds like they were trying for those lower interest rates and just got caught up. And yep. Now it's cheaper to get rid of everything, pay it off, or declare bankruptcy.
Yep. But anyways.
Start the show!
All right. I was just waiting for you to finish up there.
Yes, I wound here. I'm okay now.
I would give you a hug, Alan, if I was there.
If I were in charge of hiring, I'd give you a job.
I appreciate that.
All right. Wait, who is that?
Manfry.
Manfry. Hi. Here we go. All right. Well, I heard him, so let's start the show so we can introduce him.